is from Matthew 3, verse 1 through 6, and it's found in your Pew Bible on page 957. If you would stand with me, please. We'll also read verses 13 and 14 and then flip over to chapter 28, verse 19. Starting with chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Judea and all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Verse 13 through 14, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Moving now to chapter 28, verse 19, it's on page 989. It's Jesus talking. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God.
Thanks, Tammy. Let's try it again. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God for the word of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
That's why we stand when we read the word, to honor the word of God. In fact, in 2 weeks, I'm going to preach about, we're doing a series on the most important topics in Christianity. Our whole theme of MASH, making a spiritual hospital, and the most important things in Christianity. Today, we're going to talk about water baptism, and why is that important? In 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about the Word of God and why that's important, why that's vital. Water baptism. In order to understand, how many of you have heard a sermon on water baptism? Two, three, four, five, six, seven people. Amazing. In order to understand water baptism, you have to understand two other things from Jewish history and tradition. First of all, the sign of the Old Covenant. Genesis 17. If you go there, you'll see that God made a covenant with Abram. Changed his name to Abraham, father of nations. Now, this was a guy who didn't even have a son yet, and he was old. He was 99. And God changed his name to Father of Nations and made a covenant with him and said that he would give him the land. In fact, that's part of what's going on in the news right now, because Israel says God gave them that land. You don't think this stuff is important? And God said, "I'm going to have a sign of this covenant that I give to you and to the generations and the nations who will come from you. And that sign is going to be circumcision for males. And they're going to do it on the eighth day. So infants receive the sign of the covenant on the eighth day." Anybody been to a Jewish circumcision? You should go sometime. That's one of the neat things about being a Navy chaplain for 30 years is I made a lot of friends who were Jewish rabbis who were in the chaplain corps, and I would get invited to them, to Breeze. And it's very moving, very, very moving to receive the sign of the covenant. Okay, so the other thing that you need to understand, and I learned this from a Jewish rabbi as well, is mikvah. Say it with me. Mikvah. Anybody know what a mikvah is? Who knows what a mikveh is? Okay, now Roger's ordained, okay, so, but good job. A mikveh is a ritual baptism. And if you go to the Jewish synagogue, which I recommend you do that sometime, go to a Jewish synagogue service, you will find it to be very familiar. Because Christian worship came out of the synagogue. Okay? So you'll find it very familiar. You'll be right at home. And they have good food after. But they have a mikveh in a Jewish synagogue, in all Jewish synagogues. And most of the, it has to be flowing water, so you can't do it in a lake. But the ocean's okay, river's okay, and what they do is they collect rainwater in the synagogue, and then they have this ritual washing. When do you do it? Women do it after their monthly cycle. It's a ritual cleansing. You do it after childbirth. Men and women do it if you touch the dead. Or at preparing for holy days. Or if you are a Gentile. Now, how many Jews do we have in here this morning? Can I see how many Jews we have? Okay, you're all Gentiles. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Gentile means literally the nations. There's Jews and there's Gentiles. Now, if you want to convert to Judaism, you have to go through baptism in the mikvah. You have to receive a ritual washing. Okay, understanding those two things will help you understand Christian water baptism. Now, the last prophet in the Old Testament was Malachi. And he was writing about 400 BC. And he wrote in the very last part of his prophecy that God was going to send the prophet Elijah before the end. And that the prophet Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, to prepare the way for the Lord. Now, he gave those words, he wrote them down, and died. And 400 years went by with no word from God. Nothing. And then in approximately the year 3 BC, there was this elderly priest by the name of Zechariah who went to the Jewish temple, and it was kind of like he won the lottery. When you are a Jewish priest and you get maybe one shot in your life to be the one who goes into the Holy of Holies, and it just so happened that year that Zechariah got drawn, and he went in there for his once-in-a-lifetime experience as an old man. He and his wife Elizabeth had no children. And he goes in there, and who does he run into but Gabriel, the angel. And Gabriel's standing there, and he says, first of all, of course, don't be afraid. And then secondly, you're going to have a son. Now, this was an elderly old man, and his name's going to be John. And he's going to be a great man, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And in fact, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And he's never going to drink strong drink. And he will go in the spirit of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Who do you think Gabriel was talking about? He was saying to John, this son of yours will be that prophet Malachi talked about. And he was born. And he was raised out in the desert. He was raised like a prophet of old. And he ate wild locusts and honey out there. And they put camel hair on him and a leather belt. And when he was about 30 years old, he appeared to Israel. And he came down to the Jordan River. Now the Jordan, there's a mountain in the northern part of Israel called Mount Hermon. And that mountain, which is snow-capped, has a river that runs from it called the Jordan. And it comes down to the Sea of Galilee. And then it runs down from there down to the Dead Sea, one of the lowest places on the planet. And John came between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, somewhere on that river, and he decided that he would make the Jordan River a mikvah. And he was going to do something different. He was going to tell the people of Israel that they needed to be converted, to get ready for the Lord who was coming. That they needed the ritual washing and repentance. That the kingdom of God was near. That they needed to humble themselves like a Gentile to get ready for the Lord, because he was at hand. And they came from all over Israel, because everyone knew that this was the prophet Malachi talked about. Even the religious leaders came. And one day even Jesus showed up. And John said to Jesus, he knew who Jesus was, and he said, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus said to John, no, you baptize me because we want to fulfill all righteousness. And so John, relenting, baptized Jesus. And as he came out of the water, out of the mikvah of the Jordan, we know the Spirit of God came upon him in power. And we know there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son. And then Jesus began his ministry that lasted 3 years. And shortly after that, John was arrested and beheaded by Herod. And Jesus' disciples began to baptize in his name. And we know that on right after the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus said in, at the end of Matthew 28, that we, the disciples, should go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And folks, with those words, Jesus made water baptism the sign of the new covenant. The new covenant in his body and in his blood. Just as circumcision was the sign of the old covenant, just for males on the eighth day, now baptism, water baptism, Christian mikvah, if you will, is now the sign of the new covenant, which is not just for males anymore, but males and females, and not just for Jews, but for the whole planet, the whole human race. Now, we know in Acts that the disciples, after Jesus ascended into heaven, continued to baptize in his name. And we know in places like Acts 16:33, the Philippian jailer, that after he was converted, Paul baptized his whole family. Now, we don't know if there were any children there or not. But if there were, the majority of the Christian church believed that they would have baptized them, because they were used to the sign of the covenant for infants. We don't know for sure, but we know by the second century AD that the Christian church was baptizing infants. And they continued to do that. The Roman Catholic, the Greek Orthodox, and then later the Lutherans and Presbyterians, and the Church of England, and then eventually us, because we came out of the Church of England. the Methodists. The majority of the Christian church for the last 2,000 years has baptized infants. And it wasn't until about the 1600s that Christians began to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should only do this to people who are believers and understand. And hence came the whole Baptist tradition. But that was pretty late in Christianity. The majority of the church has been baptizing infants. Now, in my own experience, I was baptized in a Methodist church in Spokane, Washington as an infant. Just like these kids this morning, how do I know I was baptized? Because my mom and dad said so. And I actually later in life contacted that church in Spokane, and they sent me, it was in the church ledgers. And by the way, we keep church ledgers here too. So if people do that, you can get a record of it. And they sent it to me, which I thought was pretty cool. And then later in life, I was confirmed, where I went through confirmation is when you accept Christ as a young person. You're baptized by your parents, with your parents, and then you go through confirmation. But I got far away from God until I was in a junior in the University of Washington. And most of you have heard my story. If you haven't, you can go listen to my first sermon here in January last year. And at that time, when I accepted Christ into my life, really gave my heart to Him, I did not feel led to get baptized again. You know, you only need to get baptized once in this life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, Catholics and Protestants accept each other's baptism as long as it's done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have baptized Catholic kids when I was a hospital chaplain, and the Roman Catholic Church accepted it because it was Trinitarian. That's the key. It has to be Trinitarian, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, my sister, who had a similar experience, felt she needed to go get immersed again. Okay? That's all right. Now, when I was the chaplain of in Rota, Spain, back in the 90s, I took a group of Christians, Catholic and Protestant, to Israel. And while I was there, I was at the spot where we think John baptized in the Jordan. And I had this other chaplain with me by the name of Gary Carr. And Gary and I are good friends. And we looked at each other and we said, there's no way we're not going to get baptized standing in the Jordan River. So we baptized each other. In fact, I hope that I have a video clip of that. It's not very well, good quality, but let's see if we can bring it up. We didn't get it? Nuts. Okay. You'll have to come back to the second service. We'll try to. It's supposed to be in there. Sorry. But Gary and I baptized each other in the Jordan. I considered that to be a renewal. I wanted you guys to see me when I was young. We considered that a renewal. I considered that a renewal, like renewing your wedding vows or something. But, you know, you don't. If you've been baptized as an infant, you don't need to be baptized again. What you need to do when you come back to faith, if you've been away for a while, is you need to join the church and make a commitment to the body of Christ. That's what you need to do, not go get baptized again, although you can do that if you want. Now, you heard me talk about the kids this morning. You know, why is infant baptism so important? Well, I think it's important because, first of all, Jesus said to the children, such is the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus was always welcoming the kids and always saying that the kids, that we had to be like them to enter the kingdom. You remember? Not the other way around. They didn't have to become adults. We had to become kids and humble ourselves and have that kind of childlike faith. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 said to people who were married to unbelievers, that they were sanctified and their unbelieving spouse was sanctified because of their faith. He said, otherwise your children would not be holy. But you see, the children of believers are holy. 1 Corinthians 7:14, look it up. And therefore can receive the sign of the covenant. And I think that when we receive that sign of the covenant, we are marked as belonging to the Lord. And I think that's protection. I think the Lord protected me going through those years of rebellion far away from Him. And I think it's important. It's important that you have your children baptized. And it's important that you be baptized. It's a command of Jesus Christ. It's a command. It's not optional. Can you go to heaven and not be baptized? Yes. But I wouldn't recommend it. Okay? Because the first thing the boss is going to say is, why didn't you listen to me? And get baptized. That's my command. He's the commander in chief. Amen?
Amen?
And there's a reason He wants you to do that. So, time for a sea story. Being a Navy chaplain for 30 years, I have lots of sea stories, as you know. But this, I have a baptism sea story. I was coming back from Desert Storm on the USS Nimitz. We'd been out there for 6 months. It's all guy crew. It's before women. No computers. No cell phones. It used to take 9 days for me to get a letter from Gail. We used to have to number our letters because sometimes they wouldn't come in the right sequence. I'd hear about my kids would get in an accident, and I'd hear about it maybe 9 days later. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad. We picked up our Tigers. In those days, our sons and our dads could come and join us on our last transit. We'd pick them up in Pearl Harbor to Bremerton. So the last week, now we'd been at war. We'd been victorious in war. We won that thing in 100 days. And we were victorious. And we picked up our sons and we picked up our dads for that last transit home. And I had this young sailor come in to me. And he said, Chaplain, I want to get baptized. And I said, okay. We're going to be home in less than a week. Why don't we wait and have your family there? Wouldn't that be nice? No, Chaplain, I want to get baptized now. And I argued with him. I tried to put him off. But he was determined. And so finally I relented. I was just trying to, goof off and have time with my son and my dad and my father-in-law. And this guy wanted to put me to work. Okay. So that we had a Sunday just before we pulled in. And I baptized him in the chapel. And I made sure I got a lot of water on him. Now, Methodists have never been hung up on how much water, okay, because we pray over the water. This is one of our two sacraments, The Lord's Supper's one, and baptism's the other one. And we believe these are a sacrament as a spiritual symbol of a physical thing. Just like the grape juice and the bread reminds us of the body and blood of Christ. So in baptism, we're reminded of our death to our old self and our resurrection to our new self, Romans 8. But we've never been hung up on how much water. We pray over the water and we sprinkle, we pour, we immerse. I like immersion. I like to do it with my chest waders. And so I got a lot of water on this guy. And he had all of his friends come. It was pretty cool. Well, we pulled in. We're victorious. If you've never seen an aircraft carrier come back from combat victorious, and all of our women folk out there on the pier and the bands playing, and it is fantastic. And one of the neat things is, if you don't have duty, you're off for the next 30 days. Of course, you have duty about every 6 days. We have to have 1/6 of the ship on board at any one time to get underway if we have to. And so that weekend, it was a weekend, and that sailor that I baptized was going across the floating bridge to the Olympic Peninsula in the rain and flipped his car and was killed. And I did his funeral there at the base chapel at Bremerton, and of course all of his family was there and all of his shipmates were, all the ship was there. Whole frickin' ship was there. And I told this story. And I was so glad that I had listened to him. I learned a great lesson from him. That, Doug, you don't always get it right. Listen to the people of God, too. Somehow in his spirit, he knew. And God was telling him to get baptized. And I thank God that I listened to him. If you've not been baptized, do it. Okay, we had a great men's retreat. We had over 50 guys there up at Buck Creek. Do we have a photo of that? Hopefully we got that one. There's a picture of us. Doesn't do justice. There's guys on both sides over there. I couldn't get everybody in one shot. But we had a song that we did. It was kind of a theme song. Was it Tom Petty that Chuck wrote some? And the guys are all going, oh, no, what is he going to do now? Because the guys don't know I'm going to do this. But I'd like to have you all stand. And for our closing song, I'm going to ask the guys from just, you don't have to come up here, guys. Just stay where you are. Those of you that were on the retreat. And we're going to sing this song to the congregation for our closing song. We'll do it through a couple times, and then we'll have the words up there. So the rest of you can join in with us. But we're going to start out with the guys from the retreat.
Yes, this was, we had a theme about flying, learning to fly. Come on, that word. Here we go. No, not that one. And so we needed a song with something about learning to fly in it. And there's those of you who know classic rock, there's a Tom Petty song that goes like that. So we just kind of changed the words around. This became our theme song. Well, it started out with a simple prayer. Gave my heart to Jesus. Again from the beginning, so you can go home and tell your friends that you got to sing a Tom Petty song in church. Sort of. Well, it started out with a simple prayer. Gave my heart to Jesus. Gonna go from there. Now I'm learning to fly. Good and and he talks to me. Now I'm learning to hear him. I'm beginning to see. Now I'm learning to fly. Jesus, watch what